So we're continuing with our summer series this week, I Am, Jesus in His Own Words. We're exploring the seven I Am statements that Jesus makes about Himself in the Gospel according to John. These statements are of self-revelation about His true nature. Throughout the Gospel, through a combination of signs and acts and purposeful statements, Jesus begins to show people who He is and why He came and who they are meant to be. The first week, we looked at Jesus' declaration, I am the bread of life. Jesus attempts to explain to the crowds that all who come to Him, who follow Him and believe in God, will never be hungry or thirsty. They will never have hunger for the things which can never truly fill them. The bread of life will give them peace. Last week, we heard about the declaration, I am the light of the world. Jesus told the elders and anyone who would listen that anyone who followed Him would never walk in darkness, but would have the light of life. And of course, the Pharisees tried to argue with Jesus and invalidate what He was saying. They were lost in the dark as well. The disciples pointed out the man blind from birth, asking Jesus who had sinned, the blind man or his parents. And Jesus said, neither. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. And Jesus not only gave the man new sight, but also brought light to others who were spiritually blind. The I Am statements of the Gospel of John, in which Jesus is working to help people understand that He's not just the son of a carpenter from Nazareth. They're all very deliberate statements, very intentional statements. We see elsewhere in the New Testament how Jesus speaks in parables, uses illustrations to help people understand how much God loves us and how we should love each other. How God is waiting with open arms to welcome us home when we wander, and how we should forgive our brothers and sisters 7 times 70 times. And that even a tiny bit of faith can do great things. But here in the Gospel of John, these I Am statements are not just imagery pulled from day-to-day life. They reach back to the laws of Moses and the words of the prophets to give the Pharisees and the Samaritan woman at the well and the blind man and the disciples and even his friends Mary, Martha, and Lazarus something to grab a hold of. He's using the words of the forefathers as a light so that they may see. Now, in between the healing of the blind man and the scripture that we heard this morning, the Pharisees launch an investigation. They talk to the parents of the blind man, who verify that, yes, their son was blind at birth, but now he can see. Then the Pharisees talk to the blind man himself, not once, but twice. And the formerly blind man stands up to the Pharisees, declaring that the man who healed him must be from God. Otherwise, he could not have done what he did. And the Pharisees did not like being told that they were wrong. So they belittled him, and they threw him out of the inquiry, even though the evidence was right there in front of them. But Jesus tells that man that not only has he been given new physical sight, he also has spiritual sight. And the Pharisees, because they will not believe, are spiritually blind. So Jesus tries again to help the Pharisees grasp not only who he was, but their own spiritual weakness by using the imagery of shepherding and the gate. Not only is this a familiar occupation around Jerusalem, that of a shepherd, but Israel's first king, David, was a shepherd. The psalms sung by the Israelites include, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And if the Pharisees remember the prophecies of Ezekiel, God took the responsibility of shepherding out of the hands of the leaders and rulers who were supposed to be looking after the people. And God said through Ezekiel, I will do it. I will be the shepherd of my sheep. But that's a sermon for another time, July 22nd. Jesus, the Son of Man, the Word of God, one with God, is now telling the Pharisees, I am the gate. I am protecting the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and bandits. All who came before me are thieves and bandits. All who were called to this responsibility did not do it the way it was meant to be done, so I'm here. And God spoke through Ezekiel. When it's time to bring the sheep in for the night, this is how shepherding the sheep works. When it's time to bring them in for the night, the shepherd leads them to a walled-in area for safety. It could be made of stone. It could be made of brush. And the shepherd leads them into that walled-in area, and then the shepherd will sleep by the entry of this pen or sheepfold to make sure that nothing gets in. No wild animals, no thieves. It is the shepherd's responsibility to care for the sheep, to protect them, and to make sure that they have everything they need, including adequate pasture, adequate ways to feed, adequate water. In his conversation with the Pharisees, Jesus says the gate is the only way in. Anyone else who would try to reach the sheep by climbing over the wall is a thief or a robber. The sheep know the voice of the one who loves them and will follow him. They will never follow a stranger or listen to a stranger's voice. In the same way, those who listen to my voice will be saved, and they will have life in abundance. As the psalm says, he makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And the Pharisees still didn't understand. So Jesus reiterated, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. The man who had been blind quickly realized and believed that Jesus was from God. But in spite of some convincing evidence, the Pharisees would not even accept the possibility of Jesus' divinity. They were not only spiritually blind, but also deaf to the sound of the shepherd's voice. In some ways, the Pharisees themselves, charged with being the spiritual leaders of the people, were like thieves and robbers trying to find another way into the pen to steal the sheep. Or at least, they were attempting to cause a distraction. They made a lot of noise about upholding laws, and they spent a lot of time examining Jesus. Their voices attempted to drown out the voice of the shepherd. The gate, Jesus, is the way to the kingdom of God through that gate. Jesus calls each of us by name and provides us with a place of peace and refuge, looks after us when we're weak or tired, and protects us from thieves, robbers, and wild animals that would seek to destroy. He leads us beside still waters and into green pastures for life of abundance. He knows our names, we respond to the sound of his voice, and although there are many sounds vying for our attention, we hear the sound of his voice cutting through it all. There are many wild animals and thieves trying to climb over the wall of the sheepfold. There are other voices telling us thoughts and prayers don't make a difference, they're pointless. There are other voices shouting that enforcing laws is more important than compassion. There are voices that paraphrase a half of a verse in a sacred text to justify persecution and isolation. Thieves like drug dealers and enablers, bullies and abusers, false prophets and falser gods lurk in the brush around the sheepfold. waiting. Wild animals try to leap over the walls. Wild animals like addiction and grief, depression and anxiety, excessive work, marital strife, broken relationships, serious and terminal illnesses, unemployment and financial strain, general feelings of hopelessness about the future, and sometimes we can see their fangs in the dark. And we think, why am I even bothering to do this or to do that? Why am I bothering to sit in a pew on a Sunday and pray? Is it going to make any difference at all? And that's when the shepherd at the gate chases away the thieves that would cut us off from the green pastures and the still waters, that would steal our hope and our joy. The gate stands between us and the wild animals that would drain our very life and seek to destroy our relationship with God. There are voices trying to lure us away from the shepherd and lure us away from the promise of the kingdom of God. These voices tell us that forgiveness, compassion, justice, mercy, humility, and loving God and neighbor are somehow conditional. The voice of the shepherd not only calls us by name, but reminds us that all of these things are unconditional. The voice of the shepherd leads us in the way to go, in our comings and goings, in our daily lives. Jesus is the gate to salvation. But here's the thing, salvation isn't just a future event. Salvation is a right here, right now event. Salvation is now. May we all be given new sight so that we can recognize when we're standing before the gate. May we all be given acute hearing that we recognize the shepherd's voice above all the noise.